Okay, let's take this opportunity to thank Rav Doron Pavlishuk for joining us and to give him an official welcome to the Advent community. He might have had a few already, but we'll take another opportunity here. Rav Doron was previously the, what was your official title in South Africa? A shliach or mashkiach? Or what do they call you?
Lots of titles.
Lots of titles. Okay, he had a very prominent role in the Johannesburg Jewish community in South Africa for a number of years, and we're very, very happy to have him back here. I have to say that, of course, also because he was my landlord last year, but aside from that, we're also obviously very, very happy to have him back here and to be able to learn Torah from him as well.
Okay. Thanks, Rav Eli. So I'm just going to try and give an overview of a few themes from the Masor. Those of you who have a Masor, you can follow. Those not, don't worry. In principle, we found, or at least I found, six separate themes running through the Masor. Now, Chazal understand the Ikar of Tfilah is Shmona Esra. In fact, whenever Chazal talk about Tfilah, they're actually referring to Shmona Esra. So if we want to look at the themes, our most natural point to start with is actually the Shmona Esra. Having said that, which Shmona Esra? So it seems that we should look at Musaf, because Musaf always encapsulates the essence of the day, the significance of the day. Even though the Baal HaMa'or had an interesting shita, the Baal HaMa'or, one of the early Rishonim, held that Malchiyot Zichron Shofarot, you actually say Marit Mincha Shachrit as well. We don't pass in like that. We focus that it's only on Musaf, and this is a general theme that what's unique to the Chag, usually we put in Musaf, which is quite logical because the Korban in the time of the Beit HaMikdash was obviously the Korban Musaf was something unique for the Chag. Now, so having said that, we're going to try and understand the themes, the six themes running through the Shmona Esrei of Musaf. Before we start with that, one has to understand that the Machzor actually works on two levels. It works on the level of what Chazal were metaken, the wording that Chazal instituted, and then there's also editions of the Paitanim, specifically on Rosh Hashanah, almost exclusively on Yom Rishon, on the first day, Rav Elazar HaKalir. He's the author of almost all of the Piyutim. Interestingly enough, also, Rav Elazar HaKalir didn't write any Piyutim for any second day Chag. So Rav Shimon HaGadol almost copies him in a lot of things, and there's nuances and differences which we're definitely not going to get into tonight, which he's almost exclusively the Paitan for second day Rosh Hashanah. So one has to view the Machzor through the prism of these six themes, and each theme has in and of itself the original theme, which is then elaborated on by the Paitanim, and we have to understand what are the Paitanim adding and elaborating on. Who were the Paitanim? Who gives them the right to add on to what Chazal said? So this already is a Machloket Rishonim. The Ibn Ezra went all out against adding any Piyutim for a number of reasons. Not only he held it was against Halacha, but he also held that their language was incorrect. You know, Ibn Ezra was very Medayek in Lashon. He held that they were the language is very flowery and not necessarily correct. And he almost wanted to abolish it. Sefer HaItim, an early Talmud of the Rif, so we're talking 1000s or whatever it is, 1100s, he felt that the Piyutim were added but late Breira. What does that mean? It was in the time of Shmad or something like that. There was a Gzairah, you weren't allowed to learn any Torah. And so in order to somehow educate the people, so they were allowed to daven, whatever it was, they allowed people to daven, so they added in the Piyutim, which actually have a lot of halachot, etc., etc. But it also very against Piyutim. Lamaisa, we pass in like the Ramah, different levels, different congregations, guys, how far you can add in Piyutim, but we generally pass in you can in, or at least the Ashkenazim, we pass in to add in piyotim. Our davening is filled with piyotim. And having said that, we have to understand what exactly what are they elaborating on. Okay, so let's start. Having said that, the breakdown of the Musaf Amidah is unique on Rosh Hashanah to any other chag. Usually we have seven brachot for every chag, three in the beginning, three at the end, those are standard. And then the Inyana Diyuma, the significance of the uniqueness of the day is really in the middle. Comes along when it comes to, how much time do I have, by the way? Because I just need to know what to elaborate on, what to come. 10, okay. So here, Chazal basically went from your standard 7 to 9. Why? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah learns out the Flamed Gimel, I think it is, that you need Shofarot Zichron, Malchiyot Shofarot Zichronot, so we need to add 3. The Shaila is, hold on a second, fine, so we need to mention Malchiyot Zichronot Shofarot, so that gives us 3, plus we've already got 6, but then you need to have the specific Brocha of the day, which should give us 10. However, the Tanaim bend over backwards to try and fit in the Brocha of the day into Malchiyot Shofarot Zichronot. Machloket Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri versus Rabbi Akiva. It's an interesting, how we resolve that Machloket is actually interesting, because from the Machzor, it seems that we go half-off. But that's an interesting thing in and of itself. But the point is that Chazal were makpid to keep it to 9 and not 10. We know there's a halakha in Brachot that Chatima cannot be with 2 ideas. So what do the Tanaim suggest? That you've got to fit in the concept of Rosh Hashanah into one of the 3 Brachot. The Machloket, which Brachot to do it in and how to do it. It goes against the Klalim of Hilchot Brachot. A bracha, you can never be chotem, you can never end a bracha with 2 concepts. But that's exactly what we do. So the question is, why? Because they wanted to keep it 9 and not 10. So question number 1 is, why, you know, what's so significant of 9? Chazal learned out, because tefillat chana, there's a parallel between the tefillah of chana versus Rosh Hashanah, and tefillat chana, there were 9 mentions of Hashem, so we've got to have a parallel between tefillat chana together. Chana, when she, the prayer of Chana. Chana, sorry. So Chana's prayer. let me say it like that. Chana's prayer versus Rosh Hashanah. There is something that Chazal felt was so connected, to the extent that the whole office, the whole character of our Shmona Esrei has to somehow fit in to Tfilat Chana. So that's, the truth is, it's a sheer in and to itself. What exactly is the parallel going on over there? If we have time at the end, we'll come back to it. Having said that, so let's go through the 6 themes, at least La'anit Zati. I've found 6 themes, there might be more or less, I'm not sure. But obviously, the 3 obvious ones are what Chazal already tells us, that there's Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. What is Malchiyot? To be Mamlich et HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've got to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu king. What is Zichronot? And what is Shofarot? Those 2 are a bit more difficult to define. I'll tell you how Sefer Ikarim says it. He says there are 3 principles in which the whole foundation of Judaism rests on. According to the Rambam, there 13. He brings it down to 3. He says, number 1, Mitziuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam, that God exists. That God exists. So if you want to take it even further, Yichudo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam, that His oneness. Right? Number 2, says Sefer Ikarim, that there's something called Tzchar Ba'onesh, there's judgment, there's Hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us, cares what we do, and there's a concept of reward and punishment. And number 3, says Sefer Ikarim, is Torah Min Shamayim, that there's a Gilui Shechina, that Hashem reveals Himself to man, specifically Torah Min Shamayim, but that's one concept. But then there's also Nevi'im, etc., etc. That's all part of that concept of Torah Min Shamayim. Says Sefer Ikarim, these 3 Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot are a parallel to the three pillars of the foundations of Judaism. Malchiot is we are affirming HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metziuto Ba'olam, that he exists, that he's the king of the world. Zichronot is an affirmation that there's something called reward and punishment, and Yesh Din V'Cheshbon for all of our actions, and Tzchar V'Onesh, all of those ideas come in Zichronot. Shofarot, here he says, is a concept of Gilui Shechina. It's a concept of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, which maybe we'll come back to when we get to Shofarot, what exactly that means. Okay, so that's the Sefer Yikarim's general understanding of those three concepts, but let's take it a bit further and go further with. Let's go back to Malchiyot. Malchiyot, what does it mean to be Mamlicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So here, I'd like to mention two ideas. Number one, if one looks in the, I mentioned this in the Shir on Shabbat, but if one looks in the Amidah, and you always find this in every Shemona Yisrei that's going to be over Rosh Hashanah, most people by the end know it off by heart, it starts off by talking about, Uvechein ten pachtach Hashem elokein al kol ma'asecha, ve'ematcha al kol ma'ashabarata v'yirucha kol ma'asim. Talking about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchut should be upon us, that there should be a fear. What's the next paragraph? Uvechein ten kavod la'amecha. You should give kavod to Am Yisrael, Tehillah li'Re'echa, and Tikva Tova l'Dor Shecha. What's that got to do with anything? That we are, how did Am Yisrael get in over here? What's the next paragraph? Uvechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. That, you know, the tzadikim should be happy, etc. And what's the next paragraph? V'timloch ata Hashem levadecha. So understand paragraph 1 and 4. The theme is basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world, and because of that, okay, so everyone's a bit shaky. But the idea is we're trying to prove and affirm HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king of the world. So what's Am Yisrael doing in here? What's Tzadikim doing in here? And the idea is, Mamish in brief, not to go into it, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the way he's going to show his malchut in the world is through Am Yisrael. And that's really a theme that comes through the tefillah, and it's something that needs to be elaborated on, but we'll just suffice to say as follows. That when we mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just that we Hashem's king. We're saying Hashem is king, and he is king through how he relates to Am Yisrael. Because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to show his kingship in this world, his revelation of him being Manhig of the Olam is through the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Am Yisrael. You know, the nations of the world who act good to us, Arur or Baruch, it's all in relationship to Am Yisrael. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his kingship in the world is through Am Yisrael. So if you want to understand the kingship, you can't leave out Am Yisrael, because it's one and the same thing. So that's one idea when it comes to Malchut Hashem. The Gras says something interesting. Ki la'Hashem amlucha u'moshel bagoyim. That we say that pasuk over and over in the davening. What's the difference between to be mamlich, a melech, and a moshel? Says the Gra, mamlich, a melech, is with the ratzon of the people. It's because the people wanted that he should be their king. A moshel is a Gaddafi, right? A moshel is a person who's against the will of the people. Ki la'Hashem amlucha, when we're saying the concept of kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's saying we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be our king. U'moshel bagoyim. The goyim, they also realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world. But it's a completely different relationship. It's out of B'dleit Breira, it's forced upon them. The dictator versus the chosen king. Right? And that's the idea of Malchut Hashem. Now, it's interesting, that's an idea that we see in Chazal. The Paitan, Rabbi Elazar Kalir, says, how do we get to do that? How does a person get to the level where he's able to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu king? You know, what's the tool to it? I want to share with you two famous teutim. everyone knows them, I'm sure, but it's actually an amazing thing which I only saw. By the way, this all of these ideas are based on Rav Shechter and Rav Adler and Rav Baruch Gihi, Rosh HaYeshiva of YU and of Har Etzion, and whatever doesn't make sense, that's my addition. But it's interesting in these piyutim. I don't know, whoever's got a... On Shacharit, in Art Scrolls 3 to 8, it's just at the beginning of the repetition.
First day or second day?
First day. Let's stick with first day for now. We'll keep with Rav Elazar, Kalir, and okay. Here it says like this. It's Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Nimloch Lolam Ve'ed. That's the famous piyut. How do we mamlich HaKosh Baruch Hu? If you look at it, look at the... It's mamish. It's like after the few piyutim in the beginning, and then it goes there. It's well, I suppose it depends which machzor, how many piyutim you have. But if it's Birenbaum, it's probably very close to the front. How do you be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Look at it, how we do it in Shacharit, and then we'll see how we do it in Musaf. The stanza goes, Adirei Ayuma Yadiru Bakol, Adirei Ayuma are the mighty ones of the nation, right, who say Hashem Melech. Beruei Barak Yivarachu Bakol, the lightning shot, it's referring to the Malachim, Hashem Malach. Eilu Giburei Gova Yagbiru V'Kol. Now, it's not clear, is that the Malachim or is that Am Yisrael? It's not clear. And the parallel of this piyut is Eilu V'Eilu. The idea is, this is a duet, right, between Am Yisrael being Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim. V'Karazel Zeh V'Amar, the way the Malachim, the way they mamlich is one says and one answers, right? The karazel devamar, right? That's how the malachim do it. The way the paitan says, what we're doing in Shacharit is we are together with malachim. It's Am Yisrael being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the same level as the malachim. If you look at the paitan, and this is the piyut that describes the best. Or it's the clearest idea of Malchiyot is from this piyut. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed. You don't get a more clear idea of Malchiyot. How he mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Paitan, he compares us to Malachim. We'll come back to that. Look at Musaf, someone's got an article, it's 478. It's also the beginning of Chazarat Hashat on the first day. Melech Elyon, Keldal Bamarom, Adir Bamarom, that one, Ra'at La'adeh Adimloch. Also, a very clear theme of Malchiyot. But here, it's very interesting. It says, well, for those of you who have a Machzor, if you notice, look at the first stanza, Keldal Bamarom, Omet Yado, starts with an Aleph. The second stanza, Gole Amukim, that starts with a Gimel. Then the third stanza, Hamadaber Bitzaka. Fourth stanza, Zocher. What's clearly going on over here is that it's Aleph, Gimel, A, Zayin, etc. We're missing Bet and Dalet, right? If you go to the end of the piyut, you have two stanzas where it stops talking about Melech Elyon, Hashem on Ha, and talks about Melech Evyon. Interesting, look what the stanzas start with the Bet. It's actually, we don't have the correct stanza. The way Rav Elazar HaKalir actually wrote it was one stanza was describing Melech Elyon, and the next stanza was meant to be Melech Elyon. Aleph was Melech Elyon, Bet, Bala, Varad Shachat is Melech Elyon. Gimel was Hashem, Dalet was Melech Elyon. They found the entire thing, I think in the Cairo Gniza. It seems that because it wasn't politically correct to be talking about the Melech Evyon as such a lowly thing, that either censorship or whatever it was, it started getting taken out. So they left at the end, you know, the censors, they don't look at the end of the pew, it's on the last two stanzas, who's going to look at it? So they, a zecher of how it was originally brought. But the idea is over here, it's so strikingly different to how we were mamlicha kodesh baruch hu in shacharit. In shacharit, the way we mamlicha kodesh baruch hu, we're up there with the malachim. The karazel zev amar, it's a duet between the angels versus amitra. And in Musa, it's a completely different description. It's melech elyon versus like human beings are kacheret mishubaret. We're like this lowly, nothing, dregs of the dust of the earth, etc., etc. Right? And the truth is that I think the Paitan is saying, okay, we've got to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two ideas. When you come to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech, on the one hand, the way you mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu is you understand the difference between me, who's basar vadam, who's really nothing. You know, when in standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, melech malchei olamim, mi ani. Right? That's one understanding and perception of melucha, that a person has to have the anava to understand that, you know, mula kodesh baruch hu is nothing. And having said that, and simultaneously and sometimes contradictory, kodesh baruch hu chose us to be mamlichim. We're up there with the angels. And there's almost, you know, there's a bit of a tension going on. Well, am I klum, am I farva eifer, or am I HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vehicle in this world to bring his melucha down? And the truth is both are true, because if a person doesn't have that another to begin with, and I still haven't worked out why it's in this order, because according to what I'm saying, it would have worked much better if the Melech Elyon was in Shachrit. Because it makes sense that once you've got that another, then you can stand with the angels. I'm not sure why he did it in this way. I'm not clear.
Yeah, well, I think we have Melech Elyon in...
That's in Yom Sheni. Second day, we swapped the order. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Right, we swapped the order.
But I can't figure it out. Maybe next year it will, you know, a new Kiddush. But it seems that the Paitan is giving us two vehicles. And by the way, did I tell you who the Paitan was? The Paitan, according to Tosfot in Chagiga, Yud Gimel, is a Tana. Now, the Lazar Kalia is a Tana. A lot of Rishonim have a big machlokes, who it is. But we're talking about people, if he's not a Tana, the worst is that he's an early Rishon, if not in the time of the Goyim or previous. I'm saying, we're talking about people that really understood the nature of Avodat Hashem. So the Paitan is saying, okay, Chazal said we've got to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's giving us two vehicles. And that's really the job of the Piyutim. It's really to take the idea and elaborate it to the extent that we can internalize it and somehow use it to create that what we're trying to get, that ultimate goal of the Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's what Malchuyot is, very briefly, what's the time? I haven't even got that. Sorry?
13 minutes.
Okay. So what we're going to do is now, I'm definitely going over time. We're not going to go into all them. So let's just run through it very briefly. Okay, we've got Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. If once we have understood that the concept is to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is the King of the world, then Zichronot, but often Pashut makes a lot of sense. Zichronot is, then it's Yom Adin. Because if Hashem, if it's clear to me that Hashem is the King of the world, then He also wants something from me. And then I have, you know, did I live up to what He wants or not? Right? And that's Yom Adin, and that's Zichronot. And you'll find the Paitanim, they always juxtapose. You always have Melech Elyon, and then Untane Tokef. Untane Tokef is Eimat Adin, Mi Yichye, Mi Yamut, etc., etc. That's in Musa. If you have it in Shachris, you have La'adaya Gimlo, sorry, you have the Hashem Melech Hashem Malach, Hashem Mimloch La'alambet, and straight after, Levochen, Levavot, Biyom Din, it's like, you always go, once you have clarified that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the world, like the King of the world gave you a job. And the question is, did you live up to it? Did we live up to it? And that's Yom HaDin. So that's Zichronot, but often Pashut is that it's Yom HaDin. So once you get to that, the question is, what is Shofarot? Okay? In order to explain Shofarot, I want to go to a fourth theme. A fourth theme, which we found, you have to look quite difficult. It's quite difficult to find it, but I think there is a fourth theme. For those of you who have a Machzor art scroll, page 504, just before we start the Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot, there's two paragraphs. Ochila lakel achalefanav. It's a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eshalam imenu ma'ane lashon. You're asking him to give you the words. Asher bikal am asher ashira uzo abir anos ba'ad mifalav. La'adam marcheleh. The person, you know, we've got these ideas. Ume Hashem ma'ane lashon. But how to verbalize it? The gift of the gab, proverbially, is the gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem sefatai tiftach ufi yitiratecha. Pitchon peh is the fourth theme. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us as if it were Davin. Now you find this, by the way, in every Amidah. Because we start off our Amidah with Hashem sefatai tiftach ufi yitiratecha. But on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal said, oh, you know, we need to take a break. And it's not clear. It seems like it's a piyut, by the way. This ochila, we almost have to take a break and we have to, again, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, you know, siyata dishmaya, that we should daven correctly. And the question is, you know, why do we need to take a break? And by the way, it's not only here. It's that the Chazan, just before Musaf, that whole hinani muchan, now, that is a prayer of Hashem tzvatai tiftach ufi yagitilatecha. That, you know, it should come out right. So the question is, and that's a theme that kind of, at every juncture where it's critical, and this is a critical juncture where we're going to talk about Malchiyot, Zichron, and Shofarot, Chazal make, you know, let's just take a break and daven, that we should be able to daven. And the question is, why over here, why Chazal felt that there is a necessity to actually daven, to be able to daven. Now, obviously, one could say, what are you talking about? It's a matadin, it's Yom HaDin, it's Rosh Hashanah, you know, a lot's riding on my Musaf Amidah. I need to make sure that I'm not in dreamland. So, of course, I need to. So, that's Lichora, what I thought that when I gave the shir last time, that's the answer I gave. But I think there could be another answer. And it's based on a machloket between Rashi and Ramban. There's a strange Rashi. Rashi seems to imply, both in the Torah and at the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that the Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, which is Lichora Takana Mid Rabbanan, and it's only an Asmachta brought in the Gemara, Rashi seems to imply that it's Midoraita. That if it's together with the Shofarot, blowing together with the Shofarot, you know, Kesidran, and together with the Shofarot, to go with together with the Shofar blast, it seems to be Doraita. The Ramban doesn't accept this at all. He brings a clear proof from the Gemara. The Gemara has, in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Lamed Bet, it talks about one of the guys, a farmer, he's got two cities. City on his left, he knows that there's a Shofar, but it seems like no one knew, they didn't have Machzorim. So there was the Baal Tfila who knew all the psukim of Malchiyot, Zichron, and Shofarot of the heart. So they definitely didn't have a Baal Tfila. But there was a Shofar. The other town, he wasn't sure. And it could be that you could get the... So the Gemara says you should go to the town with the Shofar. Also the Gemara Pshita, this is Doraita, and this is Midrabanan. The Gemara answers no, because it could be that in the town, the other town, there could have also been a Shofar and also a Baal Tfilah. You could have got the whole story versus the other one where... Anyway, the Ramban proves from here, it's clear that the Tfilah is only the Rabbanan, right? The Gemara says it explicitly. So says the Kapot Marim, is a 15th century Sfardi Achron, Kapot Marim is actually on Masechet Sukkah. He's got a book on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, where they explains, he comes to the defense of Rashi, and he says like this. Now, the Gemara was talking about that if they would have had a Baal Tfilah without the Shofar, it's Midrabanan. But when you have the Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot together with the Shofar, then that's d'oraita. Now, if we say that, it comes out that the tefillah of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, at least according to one understanding in Rashi, is actually mid'oraita. Every chag we have a mitzvah of the day, right? Every chag we have a mitzvah of the day. You know, so Pesach we have a mitzvah to eat matzah. So how does a person, let's say a person wants to do the mitzvah properly. So it's simple, okay, you go to Mahadrin, mean the Mahadrin, those who really want to push it, so they go and bake their own matzahs, and it's Erev, just before Chatzot, or whatever it is, they bake their own matzahs. You can do something. What's the mitzvah of the day of, you know, Sukkot, so you build this mefuara sukkah, you get the beautiful Priyay Sadar, etc. How do you do, what's the mitzvah of the Rosh Hashanah? Okay, Shofar. But according to Rashi, it's now not only Shofar, what is it? It's the Tefillah. The Tefillah is actually, together with the Shofar, you know, but the Tefillah is actually the mitzvah of the day. To be Mamlicha Kodesh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah midoraita. So how do I do, Hinani Muchan Mezuman Lekayim Et HaMitzvah Zeh? So Chazal say, let's take a break and let's do a little prayer of Ochila. Because I can't like, you know, well, I'll just spend an extra 50 shekels and buy the most mahudra set of you know, the best etrog I can find. So a person has an ability to try and prepare himself to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Mm-hmm. How I be Mekayim the Mitzvah of, it's a Kiyum Shebelev almost. Okay, you have to say the words. But I'm saying it's something that almost we can't prepare for. Almost we can't prepare for. So before we do it, let's just have a 5-minute break and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just give us a bit of siyasa dishmaya that we should be able to do it correctly. And according to that, I'm not just davening because a matadin. I'm davening because this is the kiyum of the day. And therefore I need a special tefillah in order to make sure that my tefillah is going to be the right tefillah. Almost. I need a special tefillah that your etrog is kosher. Special tefillah that your okay, I'm over time, so we'll stop there. What we didn't get to is a fascinating topic, and that is a fifth theme, and that is tachanunim. How that fits into Rosh Hashanah, lichora. You had a shiur earlier. Is it there's a mitzvah to be sameach on Rosh Hashanah? Is it mevatel avelus? So lichora, we don't do tachanunim, and nevertheless, somehow. We slip in right Avinu Malkeinu, you know, this year it's not a Shabbos or whatever. We slip these things. I mean, it's a big machloket. It's not so bad. But Lamaisa we do it. And there are other points in the Tefillah where you'll see where we slip in Tachanunim. And the question is how that works. What is the theme over there? But we'll leave that for another time. So the sixth theme is it's a Chag, and every chag has the same nusach. Ubibnei chataeinu galinu me'arzeinu. It's a standard shalosh regalim, standard Sukkot, standard. It's always there. You cannot take away that Rosh Hashanah, in the end of the day, is also one of the moadim of chagei Yisrael, and that also fits into the amida. So there's a whole bunch of things, but okay, we'll leave it at that.